ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवेनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ॐ कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो वी आर चैंटिंग दिस टू सूक्तम फॉर सो लॉन्ग. Now we have to move on to something else. It's not right, isn't it? We get stuck with something. Now we started Rudram, something very important, and we have learned, but still we have to make it proper. Now we will hold on to Rudram hereafter. Rudram is something we have to chant very correctly. That's why never the people do whatever they want to do. Out of Shraddha, they do it with Shraddha, but they may make mistakes, so we don't say anything. But when we do, at least do it correctly. So hereafter we'll focus on only Rudram. So that, now we did some Rudra Parayanam chanting, learnt, but it has to become correctly. Na? Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namah Harihi Om Om Sadashiva Samarambham व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. There is no Jagrat Prapanchaha, waking universe, outside of the experiencer obtaining in the waking state. There is no dream universe outside of the experiencer obtaining in the dream state. And there is no unmanifest universe outside of the experiencer obtaining in the deep sleep state. Universe unexperienced. Unexperienced means what? Undifferentiated. Undifferentiated as many objects, different objects, innumerable countless objects, indicated by innumerable words, names, is what unmanifest, undifferentiated. Undifferentiated is what unmanifest. The unmanifest is what unexperienced. So, universe being unmanifest, undifferentiated, unexperienced is experienced in deep sleep state. Therefore, we say what? There is the experiencer obtaining in a deep sleep state is also the same experiencer, outside of whom there is no unmanifest universe. Therefore, universe experienced or unexperienced, manifest or unmanifest, differentiated or undifferentiated, universe does not exist outside of the experiencer. Therefore, there is no universe, there is no jagat, no prapanchaha outside of the experiencer, and there is no experiencer other than consciousness implied by the term Atma or Brahman. Therefore, we say all that was Brahman, all that is now is Brahman, all that will ever be also what? Brahman. Therefore, there is no you, I, this. These differences are not there absolutely, only relative. Therefore, we cannot talk about the creation also. Therefore, there is no such a thing called creation. And therefore, this jagat which we say mithya, we say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, and this mithya prapanchaha is nothing but appearance of the same Brahman. Therefore, we say what? Mithya, there is no such thing called mithya. We only give the name mithya. Really speaking, only Brahma. There is no creation at all. Only then you are denying what? You are negating the creation of the individual, the birth of the individual, the creation of the universe. So Jiva Srishtihi and Jagat Srishtihi, creation of the individual and creation of the Jagat, the universe. Creation of the experiencer and the creation of the experienced universe. Both we are negated here. There is no creation at all. And we in the Mandukya earlier chapter we saw very clearly how there is no creation. The logically it has been established, and the support of the Shruti also it has been established. There is no creation at all. And here, in understanding this, what we should have understood is, where am I? Only from where am I? We resolve the individuality when you are not there at all, absolutely. And where is samsara for you? Where is samsaraha? Where is bondage? And where is the mokshaha? When you yourself are not there, you can say you are Brahma, then Brahman alone is there. You are Brahma, you alone are there. That's what you have to say then. Therefore, there is no samsaraha, there is no bandaha, there is no samsara, there is no bondage. There is no mokshaha, there is no freedom. There is no pain. The pain is possible only if there is individuality. And individuality is possible only if there is I-sense. Relatively, individuality will be there, should be there. But absolutely, there is no I. No, she's called I. That is what we are understanding here. Okay, that is where our mukti lies. Otherwise, why should we be interested in knowing whether there is creation or not? Or what is manifestation? If there is manifestation, means manifestation of what? That's why we are understanding. And that is why this fourth chapter is specially done to assert our understanding, to assimilate our understanding, that not to have any doubts in our understanding. So here we have come to the 13th verse, Karika. As I said in the last class, in order to become a champion, you need to be victorious over only the champion. You need not really win other people. Similarly, here also, Gaudapada Acharya has to carefully help us understand the fallacies in all the different systems of philosophies, both Nastika Darshanani and Astika Darshanani. Even though there are only 4 Astika Darshanani and 6 Nastika Darshanani, and of the 4 Astika Darshanani also, he refutes only Sankhya philosopher. Why? Because refuting Sankhya philosopher's view itself is as good as negating the rest of the 3. Not the other 3 philosophers. And we saw briefly last class, we actually understood here, and just taking only 3 basic principles of Sankhya philosopher, and Gaudapada Acharya ji could point out 4 defects, 4 fallacies in the Sankhya philosopher's view. And thereby he could establish, therefore, there is no creation. There is only manifestation. How he establishes? Because it is very difficult for us to establish the cause. If we have to talk about something called Srishtihi, the origination, the creation. So, the creation means something must be made out of something. Srishtihi implies what? Something which was not there before is newly brought into existence. Which means for which something must have been the cause. So, there must be the cause. Only then there can be effect. If there is cause and effect, then you can talk about the creation. You cannot even say this Jagat is the effect, Karyam. Why? Because you cannot establish the cause. Therefore, you cannot establish that there is creation. If you say this Jagat is the Karyam, then you must say what the Karanam is. And so we saw last class how the Sankhya philosopher Kapila Munihi, the propounder of this Sankhya philosophy, system of philosophy, says that Prakritihi Pradhanam is the Mula Karanam. And this Prakritihi is eternal, Nityam, because anadihi, beginningless, uncaused, causeless cause. And from that Prakritihi, the Jagat has originated. And this universe just originated is what now? Effect. But this universe just originated is non-eternal. Not Nityam. And then he says one more thing. And this universe happens to be the effect, the product of that Prakriti. The universe is nothing but the Prakritihi. And he arrives at this conclusion through inference. Is what the main principles of Sankhya philosopher. And here from the 13th, from the 11th verse onwards, we saw 11th, 12th and the 13th. These 3 karikas, Gaudapada Acharya refuted Sankhya philosopher, pointing out 4 defects. What are those defects? We'll just quickly see and then we can go ahead. Which I have already told you. If the cause is the eternal, beginningless, uncaused cause. And from the eternal cause, the effect has come into existence. The effect also must be what now? Eternal. The effect must be eternal. Karana gunaha karye anuvartyayuhu. Isn't it? It must be eternal. But he says effect is non-eternal. Isn't it? Therefore, what the first defect? The effect having to become non-eternal is the first defect. It's called karya or jagat nityatva doshaha. Prapancha nityatva doshaha or karya nityatva doshaha, first defect. The second is, if the cause is eternal, the effect is non-eternal, then the otherwise cause must be non-eternal. So the cause, the karanam, the prakritihi having to become the non-eternal, isn't it? It's the next defect. It's called karana anityatva doshaha, second defect. So karya nityatva doshaha, otherwise say prapancha nityatva doshaha. Then karana anityatva doshaha means prakriti anityatva doshaha. Because either both must be eternal or both must be non-eternal. One cannot be eternal, one cannot be non-eternal. Why? If you say the pot is nothing but clay, the effect is nothing but the cause, when you say, the effect also must be of the same quality, must be of the same nature. But he says the two, isn't it? Cause is eternal, effect is non-eternal. So prakritihi is eternal and the universe is non-eternal. When he says, he himself contradicts. These are the two defects. And these two defects are shown where the 11th karika points out the first defect of the effect having to become the eternal. And the second, the 12th karika reveals the second defect of the cause prakritihi having to become the non-eternal. Then the third one, the third and fourth, these two defects are revealed in the 13th karika. 13th karika. The first line of the 13th karika reveals the third defect. Second line presents the fourth defect. What is the third defect? When he says, he arrives at this conclusion of the universe being the creation, which is an effect and which is non-eternal, and it has come from the cause, the prakritihi, which is eternal. And he says, he arrives at this conclusion through inference, which means this is, if something is a fact, that something must, the fact must be available for verification, isn't it? It will be available for perceptual data. Experimental data must be there for you to say, this is the fact and this is my conclusion. This is the fact. I arrived at this through this, isn't it? Without giving any experimental data, if something is presented, it is not a clear fact, it is not clear knowledge, it is only speculation or imagination. Isn't it true? Suppose if I say, the Thames River has been flowing in this country for about 5,000 years. If I simply say, suppose you all ask, how do you know that? I say something simply. No, I just simply say that. I assume, no, just I simply say that. It is only speculation. It is not knowledge. Why? There is no I have not done any experiments. I have not any verified. And simply I say, simply saying, because I cannot give you any data for that. Therefore, it's only speculation. Similarly, if you say the whole universe is non-eternal creation, it is effect, and coming into existence from the eternal eternal prakriti, and this is a fact, and I arrived at through my inference. I inferred. If somebody says it is not a thing, because for anything one must give a proper, any inference requires perceptual data, experiment, the data, we need that. Therefore, it is against, this argument is against the logic. Therefore, it said, it is yukti virodha doshaha. Yuktihi means logic. Yukti virodha, it contradicts the, isn't it? The argument is against the logic. Therefore, we say yukti virodha doshaha. Therefore, there's no way of establishing the non-eternal. Eternal means beginningless, uncaused, causeless cause. Because if we take anything in the world, every cause has its own relative cause. Every cause happens to have its own relative cause. Every cause is relative. And every cause has a beginning. There is no uncaused, causeless, isn't it? Beginningless cause. Anadi karanam is not there. And for which so many drishtantas we can take from our experience in day-to-day life. Examples we can take. But to prove there is something which is beginningless, and it has been there beginninglessly, there's no beginning at all, and from this beginningless cause, this universe has come into existence, to say that, to prove, there is not even one example available. Drishtantaha asyana drishyate. There's no drishtantaha at all. There's no example. Which means, it is impossible for one to prove, to give an example, to state, see, come on, this is something which has no beginning. From this beginningless one, the something has come into existence and which is subject to change. He cannot give an example. Therefore, finally, when he doesn't accept, even if he okay, because it is difficult for us to establish something which is beginningless, and he accepts. If he doesn't accept, Gaudapada Acharya assumes. Okay? Suppose he accepts, yes, it is difficult for a cause to be an eternal, uncaused, a beginningless cause. Let me accept this cause to be a cause which has a beginning. This cause also has come into existence from another cause. If you accept also, then there'll be a big, much bigger problem of infinite regression. Why? Because for every cause, you have to search for another cause. We keep on searching for the cause of the cause of the cause of the cause from which it has come into existence, from which it has come into existence, isn't it? Then there'll be anavastha. So, vyavastha na prasajyate, he says in the last, the second line of the 13th karika, Gaudapada Acharya says, vyavastha na prasajyate. Vyavastha means what? Vyavastha na prasajyate means there is anavastha. Anavastha means what? The final, isn't it? The ultimate final cause can never be arrived at, isn't it? Therefore, anavastha prasajyate means there is this problem of infinite regression. This is the fourth defect. So, because this theory of creation of Sankhya philosopher has these four fallacies, these four are more than enough to say, prove what now? His conclusion of creation, the theory of creation is fallacious. Therefore, if he says there is creation real, where is the creation? He can't even establish the cause. Okay? This here ends the... with this 13th karika, this is the old lessons, okay? It's all the old lessons. Now we're going to go to the new lesson. With this 13th karika, this refutation of Sankhya philosopher's view of creation, theory of creation, ends. Thereafter, 14th onwards, we have to start the new lesson today. Let us see the month Karika first. Hetora Devpalam Yesham.
Hetora Devpalam Yesham.
Adir Hetuf Palasya Cha. Hetuf Palasya Cha Nadihi. Katham Tairupa Varnyate.
Katham Tairupa Varnyate.
See, he just presents the karikas one after the other. And we have to understand from which karika Gaurupada Acharya refutes whose theory of creation. We have to understand, isn't it? Just he presents one after the other karikas. And here onwards, 14th to 23rd, these 9 karikas, 14th to 23rd, he negates the Dvaita philosopher. In general. So when Gaudapada Acharya ji negates the Dvaita philosopher, negating one Dvaita philosopher, in fact what now? All the different philosophers, a group of philosophers, having their own different theories of creation, but based on one law, all of them get negated. So we don't need to go and negate all the different, there's so many philosophers. All of them are Dvaitins. For all of them, the creation is very real. There is creation. But till how the creation has come into existence, there they differ. That's why they have, each one has one's own theory of creation. So is it important to negate each one of them? Not necessary. Know why? We have to point out what is the basis for them to say there is, no, for them to present their theory of creation, to present their argument that there is creation which is real, thereby for them duality, dvaitam also is a fact. Dvaitam for them is satyam, duality is reality for them, because for them the universe is real, the creation, there is creation and which is real. So what is that, you know, what is the basis for them to say there is this dvaita prapanchaha, there is duality real, there is creation which is real? What is the basis? Therefore, by negating that one, by negating the very basic thing, all the group of philosophers, no, are negated. They all hold on to this one important law of karma, otherwise called a theory of karma. And does Vedanta accept the law of karma or not? Because Vedanta itself talks about the law of karma. But is it law of karma or theory of karma, which is also discussed in Vedanta Shastram, real or not? And these Dvaita philosophers are also what? Because they are all Vaidikas. They all accept Veda as the Pramanam. But they also, isn't it? They also have holding on to Veda as a Pramanam, they also say. But they have different view. But here we can be very careful. Of course, even though Vedanta Shastram presents the theory of karma, discusses theory of karma, presents the law of karma, it is not something absolute. It is, should not be taken as an absolute thing. It is only temporarily, provisionally acceptable. When the individual, you know, comes to the study of the Shastram, the very beginning itself, why am I born here? Why do I have these people as my parents? Why am I going through this in my life? Why they are all doing very well? If somebody comes and asks, you have to have an answer, isn't it? If a very first day, you are not here, they are not there, they don't have any big better life, you don't have any suffering, where is the suffering? If we ask, that person will think you are mad. Therefore, Vedanta accepts the person, wherever the person is, whatever his understanding is, according to all of us in the very beginning, this world is real, and then we are born, and we have parents, and then we have only these two people as well. No, we have only, all of us have our own parents. And then we are born in certain place, and then we are born certain situation, certain background, and then we are going through pains and pleasures. Everyone has our own lot. Everyone, you can't say not one person who cannot talk about one's pains in life, one's pleasures in life. Everyone is going through. So how are you going to account for all these things? Then Shastram also says, yes, there is no sanchitam karma, which you have accumulated lots of karmas. Karma and karma phalam is here mentioned by the word karma. And from the beginningless time, we cannot say which was your first birth. Though the sanchitam also cannot be exhausted, because karma phalam takes its own time to fructify. Therefore, always there remains unexhausted fruits of actions in one's account, which is called sanchitam karma, and a portion of which alone becomes ready for exhaustion, which is called parabdham karma. It is the parabdham karma which determines your birth, determines your parentage. It's all relative, okay, not absolute. And in keeping with your punyam and papam, and you are born, the place of birth, the background of your birth, even your nationality, your language, the where you live, and all that you go through in life, all the pains and pleasures, everything that one goes through in life are determined by one's karma. Is it real or not? It is not absolutely real, but it is relatively real, empirically real. That is why parabdham karma, and also exhausting the parabdham karma, you also accumulate more punya papam, which is called agami karma. Therefore, agamis will always join the sanchitam. So there will be sanchitam endlessly. Therefore, every time sanchitam has to be exhausted in the form of some parabdha has to be exhausted, some portion of parabdha has to be exhausted. Therefore, there is no way of coming out of this bondage of karma. There is samsaraha. This is called samsaraha. The beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. There is samsaraha and it is karma binds. It's called karma bandaha. Isn't it? No life will be a life of only pleasures. No life will be a life of only pains. The life is of both experience of pains and pleasures. And in keeping with one's own punyam and papam, what one has accumulated, one has in one's account, name of prarabdham. The Shastram also talks about it. Therefore, here all these Dvaita philosophers who really accept the Veda, and Shastram says, therefore we can say what now? How can we negate the creation? How can you say there is no jiva is not born? There is no birth of a jiva. There is no creation of the universe. How can you say, the very birth of the jiva is determined by one's karma? Understand? Therefore, all of them hold on to one basic thing, that is theory of karma. Karma is the, what now? Karanam. Karma is the cause of the birth. This is said in the Veda itself. Therefore, karma is the cause of the creation. Therefore, there is creation. Therefore, creation is real. Therefore, duality is real. This is their basic thing. So here, because all the whole group, big group, isn't it? Even though they differ, they're all the big group of philosophers. They're very strong because they hold on to this one theory of creation, which is accepted in the Shastram, Veda Shastram. But how it is presented, what is the relevance of it? Is it accepted as something absolute or something provisional? That they do not see. And here, so what Gaudapada Acharyaji does, he is going to first of all make them see the problems very carefully. If there is a big strong thread, and the thread is many strings are there, therefore one thread is of what, multi-stranded, multi-stringed, the thread is there, if you have to really break it, it is difficult, isn't it? Very difficult. Suppose if you take that thread, then remove each string, make them, you know, small, the thin strings, then you can undo it easily. Here also, he wants to point out, he himself presents some options. Okay, let me accept what you say. Accepting what the other person says, then slowly presenting one's own different options, and by then pointing out the defect there, and negating, refuting the other person's view, one by one, you know, negating the option, each option is also possible. And such method is called vikalpaha, vikalpa method. You have to present some options, and in each option you have to show the defect. Then refute each, drop each option. Then dropping all the options, you finally negate, refute the other person's view. Okay. And here, to start that, he presents two different words in this karikas. Hetuhu and phalam. See the word? Hetoradif phalam yesham. Adir hetuf palasya cha. Hetuf palasya cha na dihi.
Hetuf palasya cha na dihi.
Katham tairupa varnyate.
Katham tairupa varnyate.
Please remember these two words. Hetuhu palam. The word hetuhu means the cause. The word palam means the effect. Karanam karyam. Karanam karyam, cause and effect. What is the word used here in the karika? Hetuhu is equal to karanam, the cause. And the word palam in the karika means what? Effect. Karyam. Hetuhu palam. Karanam karyam. Cause and effect. What is the cause here? Karma prarabdham karma phalam, isn't it? Karma phalam is the cause, and birth of the body is the effect. The body is the effect. Now why this body is sitting here? Because it was born, it is here because of the karma. What a karma, isn't it? I used to think, where was I born and how I grew up and how, you know, having the bhiksha from these different houses or people whom I never met, knew before. No, not blood related, no connections, nothing. That's what we say, isn't it? Like that we think. So here, body, shariram, dehaha is the effect and karma is the karanam, cause. You take, now karanam is equal to karma, parabdham karma phalam, body, shariram is the effect, cause and effect, karma dehaha, body. Is it clear? Karma is the cause, body is the effect. This is what they say. Therefore, there is creation. Now, Gaudapacharya, each now, who is going to say that? Okay, how can you say karma is the cause, body is the effect? If the body is the effect, well, because body can come into existence only for the exhaustion of karma, only for exhausting one's punya papams, one has in one's account, body has to be born. Therefore, body comes later, isn't it? Which means one must have already accumulated punya papam. Therefore, punya papam karma in the form of punyam and papam is the cause for the body to be here. You say that. Now the question, he puts the question. Therefore, he says, okay, for the punyam and papam, the karma in the form of punyam and papam to be there already, karma must have been done before. The action must have been done. Which means the body must have been there before. So body must have existed even before for the accumulation of punya papam. And because of which punya papam, next body is possible. Therefore, it is very difficult for you to establish karma as the cause of the body. Karma cannot be the beginningless anadi karanam. Understand? Anadi karanam. This is the first option. Okay? Option one. Karma in the form of punya papam cannot be the cause of the body. Why? Because even for that punya papam to be there, there must have been the body prior to that punya papam for accumulation of that punya papam. Therefore, karma cannot be the beginningless anadi karanam, anadi beginningless cause. Option one. Now, can we say then, okay, karma phalam, okay, you say now, okay, let me take now body as the karanam first. Shariram is the cause, because shariram must have been there first. It's like, no, shariram must be the cause. Then, because then you accumulate punya papam. Then that karma, therefore what now? Karma phalam becomes the effect and body becomes the cause. And because of that karma phalam, then again new body comes. And because that new body, again there is a karma phalam, because of which again the new body comes. Like this. Now we can say body is the cause, anadi karanam, and phalam is the karyam, effect. That is also not possible. Why? The body cannot be there if there was no punya papam before. Isn't it? Birth of the body, the coming into existence of the body in order to exhaust the punya papam is not possible if there wasn't punya papam. Therefore, second option is what? Body, the effect, body cannot be the cause. First negated, karma cannot be the beginningless cause. And the second option is what? The body cannot be the beginningless cause. Two options. See, when you say only these two, the two options are shown now. Now you understood? So body, for the body to come into existence, there must be punya papam before, isn't it? Or for the punya papam to be there before, there must have been a body even before that. So it's very difficult to say which came first. It is typically like saying whether the seed came first or the tree came first. I tell you, we can never establish which came first. Always, there must have been a plant before for the seed to be produced, reproduction, isn't it? For the seed must be there for the plant to be reproduced. Which came first, you can never say. So, uta karparabdham karma phalam, karma came first or phalam came first. Karma phalam came first or body came first? We cannot establish. Two options are over, isn't it? Now the third option. But this, let me tell you first, then we can go to the next, read the mantra, Karikas. I'm going to repeat the same thing in the Karikas show, because so in this Karikas. The language of the Karikas is somewhat different, isn't it? That's why I want to tell you first, like a story. You can listen and understand. Then we can see where Acharya presents them. Suddenly your buddhi thinks, okay, let us take in this way. Can we say the karma and the body are mutually cause and effect? Karma is the cause of the body. Karma palam. Na? Karma palam in the form of punyam and papam is the cause of the birth of the body. And body is the cause of the accumulation of punyam and papam. So can we say they are mutually cause and effect? Yes, definitely we can say they are mutually cause and effect. Then he says, this option also has to be dropped. Why? Because how can father can be the cause of the son? A son cannot become the cause of the father. Isn't it true? It is typically like, I told you many times this example, the child of 4-year-old, you know, is looking into at the marriage album of the father and mother, is jumping, why I am not there in the picture? You can't explain. You cannot be there. Like this, the father can be the first, now the son has to be the next. So son cannot be with cause of the father. Therefore, the cause and the effect, karma and shariram, isn't it? The fruits of actions in the form of punyam and papam and the body cannot be mutually cause and effect also. So the third option also is negated. Okay, mutually they cannot be cause and effect. Then can we say, then somehow we have to say, because they are holding on to karma theory. Who presents these options? Gaudapada Acharya presents the options. Okay, karma and this shariram, cause and effect, can we say the karma and the body are simultaneously, you know, they are simultaneously, cause and effect come in, they are there simultaneously. Again, what is this? Not practical. You cannot say karma is there, simultaneously body also is there. Always cause must be before, the effect must come only later. Simultaneous, you know, simultaneous existence, simultaneously being present is not possible on the part of cause and effect. Yugapath means simultaneous. Simultaneously, they cannot exist. Therefore, what? You cannot prove which is the cause, which is the effect. Which karma, shariram. When you say karma, don't take it as an action, okay? Punya papa karma, phalam. Parabdha karma phalam. Now, four options also gone. Now what? Now next fifth option. He presents six. One is implied. The fifth one we'll see. Now he says, yes, definite. This karma and phalam, they are there continuously. Therefore, there is a chain of karma and phalam, karma and phalam, karma and phalam. First, there is one body. It's like we can take you know, always any business, there's a, you know, investment in the beginning, and that becomes what now? Always it grows, isn't it? Invest a little, then it really becomes multitude, no? Then it always gets multiplied and becomes more and big. The same way, can we say that then? The first one body, first body is given, and afterwards you do karma, then accumulate punya papam, and next body is like that. So, this say the karma palam, the first karma is the cause of the second body. And the second body, isn't it, becomes the cause of the, then, karma phalam, next karma phalam, again the next, this next body. Can we say that? It goes like that. There is a chain of karma phalam, karma phalam, karma. Karma phalam means what now? Karma shariram. Karma body, karma body, karma body, karma body, parampara. There is a chain, the link of the parampara, of lineage of what now? Karma body, karma body, karma body, it's been there. Then here, and who creates the first body? Okay, if you say God gives the first body, God gives all of us the first body, free. Okay, I give you all gift bodies, and all of you take each one bodies, and then you enjoy your life. And you do karma, and you each one does one's own karma, accumulates punya papams, and then afterwards our punya papa become the cause of the next body, like that. Then what becomes here? The problem it will be, the God has to be very, very partial God. Why? Which means God gives the bodies, like how the British government council gives the same amount of benefit money to all the people. It must be the same. No, one person, I don't know if the benefit is the same or different, differs from person. But here all the bodies must be of the same bodies. Then he cannot give male bodies. Only male bodies should be given to all the bijivas. Or only female bodies must be given. Why is female body and male body? Isn't it? That itself determined by what now? Difference in punya papa. Otherwise, only human bodies to all the beings. Ajivas. Why animal bodies? Poor insects, small, tiny insects get crushed. Coming and sitting on at the back. Isn't it? So why the small, tiny bodies and then, no, unicellular bodies and multicellular bodies, and then why varieties of bodies, and then body means how many bodies? Some bodies are poor bodies, always thavarani. They stand one place, they can't even move. They can only move through their, you know, putting their branches out. There are some who can run around, but can't even speak, say anything. Imagine every dog and cat can talk back, how badly they'll talk back. They listen to all the rubbish we talk. They'll talk back when they're looked after. Any anger or joy, they can only express meow. And any dog can express its joy or pain or pleasure, whether they like you or, you know, come, you know, even the wag's tail comes also, it can, or it has to say that. Why touch the bodies? Which means, if we say, really, isn't it? Okay, let me take the first one body, then afterwards the karma comes, means we cannot say what now again. Bhagavan will be the so-called Bhagavan. The creator will be very partial Bhagavan. Okay, you seem to be a very good individual. Let me give a male body. So you are not that punya, don't know. Let me give you female body. Like that, Bhagavan becomes very partial Bhagavan. Who gives the first body? Even then you cannot say the body came first. It is not possible. The fifth option also, what now? Goes. The next last option. Okay, let us take this way. The karma, the body, you know, the karma phalam, body, karma phalam, body, karma phalam, body, this both are beginningless. Not only one is beginningless now. First he said karma is the beginningless cause. Then the body. Now he has to say what now? Body and karma, both this chain is what? Beginningless chain. Karma, body, karma, body, karma, body. Chain is what? Link is a beginningless karanam. Karma, body, lineage. So, parampara. Chain is a anadi karanam. It's a beginning. Both are beginningless. Let us say that. For the creation to be there continuously again and again. There also, and here he takes, okay, if we say there is a chain of karma, body, karma, body, karma, body, parampara is there, is there a chain? What is this link? What links the body with the karma? Isn't it? He said, okay, always body is connected to what? Why the sharinam here? Because of its karma. Therefore, body is linked to the its particular karma. That link, isn't it? Link, what is the parampara here? What is the connection here? Link, chain. In fact, any parampara is only a concept. Now we can say, no, pitamaha, putra, pautra, prapautra, we talk about the lineage of family, clan, vamsha, or we talk about the guru-sishya parampara. Any link, we say, it is only a concept. There is guru who is an individual, disciple is an individual, understand? There is no guru-sishya parampara without the guru and the sishya. The two individuals, the many individuals. Now because we talk about the parampara link, therefore the chain is only a concept. You take separately, therefore the chain goes. There is no chain, there cannot be a chain, link, no continuity without the karma, without the body. Now take the body separately. Can you say body is the beginningless link? Even then you cannot say which came first, you can't say. Even in this body, karma, body, chain also, you have to say what came first. Which came first? Body, you cannot prove that body came first. So body cannot be the cause. You cannot prove karma came first. Karma is the cause. Therefore, you cannot talk about the, there is no such a thing called chain. It's only a concept. We talk about the government. What is the government? It's a concept. All the individual society constitute the government. What is a community? Is there something called community? Community, is there a substance for the substantive community? No. Take all the individuals. What is society? Society is only a concept, isn't it? What is the family? Dasharatha's family. Three wives, four sons, together, one family. Dasharatha, without Dasharatha, there is no Dasharatha's family. Who is Dasharatha? Dasharatha himself cannot become a family. Isn't Dasharatha is an individual. Who is Rama? One individual. Rama is not one family. Bharata is one individual. Lakshma is one individual. Each individual. Individual is not a family. Isn't it? So where is the family? there is no, you take, there is no substance for the substantive family. Rama, there is an individual. So, Ramaha, Bharata, Shatrughna. Now, you have for each, for family, you have each person. There is no substance. Take away all the individuals. Where is the family? It's only a concept. There is no substance for the substantive family, society, community, nation. Understand what I'm saying? There's no, therefore, lineage, family tree. I'm not denying anything. We have to see absolute, you are seeing the absoluteness. The concept. Therefore what? You cannot talk about the beginninglessness of the karma body chain. The sixth option. Is it clear? In no way you can establish karma as the cause of the birth of the body. In the absolute sense. Very heartbreaking, Swamiji, all these days. This is what helped us to keep going. Whenever problem comes, all my karma. In India, no? Easily we'll say, all my karma. Swamiji always used to say this. When something good happens, desirable happens, something which you can feel proud of, then you will say, I did it. No? It is my punyam got this for me. My punyam won this for me. And some failure happens, my papam happens for me. Why my punyam got it, my papam happens. When the hand goes to different places, the punyam means the hand goes to the chest, and papam means the hand goes to the head. You know, it's all my parabdha. Then you say parabdha, use the word also. Otherwise, all Bhagavan's grace, my Bhagavan's grace, we say that, but still goes. Why? Because I did it. I only did it. Which means we've been, you know, always console ourselves, thinking it all punyam and papam. Of course, we are not denying it. That is why Mandukya Upanishad class is not for the beginners. We have to make people understand law of karma, theory of karma, accept the law of karma, theory of karma, and live the life, pull on, understand? And then help them without. That's why, how Navagraha Pradakshinam in the temples contributes for maintaining the mental health. Otherwise, every time some problem comes, we will go mad. So many difficulties, and astrology will say something, at least go and do Pradakshinam, you divert your attention from pop. Oh, the problem will go at least 7 weeks, let me finish it now. 9 weeks, go and do some Deepa now. That's why temple, I tell you, you cannot think of for the emotional well-being better than, you know, in that Vedic life, Vedic culture. Everything is well thought of. So you can't go and tell the person you have no problem at all, you know. The same Vedanta Shastram, Veda Shastra, it is the basis for the whole, thing. You can't tell the highest fact. Where is the problem? Where are you? Where is the Jagat? Where is Ishvara? Only the truth is there. If the very beginning, if you say, we're already confused, we don't know anything, we're not ready for such a vision. Therefore, you have to accept you are an individual and all your problems are very real and you have to go through them, you have to overcome them, you have to prepare your mind for that big vision. You know, and for which you have to cater to your biological, physical needs. You have to eat food, you have to have water, you have to have everything. You need everything to live this life, artha kama you need, and that itself is struggling. The whole life is struggle. The struggling, now what you need for living this life, in accumulating, acquiring, pursuing, what you need for living this life itself, the life comes in end. there is no way of accomplishing what you are living this life for. Isn't it? The whole life goes, therefore initially, somehow the Shastram has to help us. That's why Veda, guide means what? Veda Shastram is a mata, mother means it has to be with you, how much you can digest, how much you can take. Only that much you have to give. Initially, all theory of karma is accepted provisionally, but without telling whether it's accepted provisionally or absolutely, it is presented and you that is understood, we are living our lives. Why? First of all, your birth is accepted, you are born. And horoscope chart also we have. How planetary positions determine my life. They don't remember my planetary positions, only tell me what punyam and papam I have in my paradha. Isn't it? Isn't it true or not? We are shadangas again. And the Jyotisha Shastram we have. The astronomy, science of astronomy. And where in a few pages of astronomy, only this Palajyotisham, astrology. Few pages, okay? Why vast science? Finally, we have to say aparavidya, okay? Now, when you are aiming for paravidya, moksha, then finally, that's why preparation. You see, Mandukyam, when you come to the Mandukya Upanishad, you're understanding here, you're leaping, you're understanding. Okay, you're not saying, as a useless. No. Understand that, understand the relevance of it, isn't it? Everything is relative. Understand, but absolute, you cannot say it is there. Therefore, here comes what? All the six options. Therefore, you can't talk about the beginningless chain of karma and body. Therefore, karma, you cannot hold on to karma theory, which is only presented, for a temporary use, for only provisional presentation. It is not something present absolutely, presented as absolute thing. And holding on to that theory, you cannot say karma is the cause of the body. Therefore, there is creation. Therefore, creation is real. Therefore, duality is real. It is relatively real, but not absolutely real. And therefore, negation of, refutation of the Dvaita philosophers, a group of philosophers having their own different theories of creation based on one theory of karma, isn't it, is presented here in these karikas from 14th to 23rd. Still all Vaidikas, okay? And there come 24th onwards, Bauddha Nastika negation begins. Okay? You want a break and come? Okay. Have tea and come back.